Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation and by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation episode number 151 for June 11th, 2014. CPAC. Welcome to another exciting adventure of Ham Nation. Good to be back with you this week. Bob and Gordo are both out. Bob is in Nashville doing some seminars, and Gordo's on his way to Plano, Texas for the great HamCom going over there this weekend. Sure wish I was visiting that one. We've got our good friend Don Wilbanks in here with us. Don, say hello.
Hello, George. Hello, everyone. It's a warm day here in South Louisiana, South Mississippi. We had rain a couple of days ago, but man, it's been like 90 degrees. So if I look a little sunburned, it's because I've had the top down. George, how about you? Have you had your top down?
My top is down now. It's about 75 degrees here in Mississippi, but it was cold this past weekend in Seaside, Oregon. At least to me, it was near 62 degrees there at CPAC. I think some of the northern boys feel like that summer, but boy, it's a little chilly for this old Mississippi boy. But I understand that it's a little chilly where Val is tonight. Hi, Val.
Yep, it's very cold here in Wisconsin, but we get kind of used to it, and it does keep the mosquitoes away, so that's a good thing. But hopefully this rain and this cold weather will get out of here soon. I heard there's still icebergs up in Lake Superior, so it's not feeling like a real summer yet.
Yeah, I wonder about Amanda. What's it like out in Colorado this time of year, Amanda?
Typically, it is really nice out here. It's usually too hot.
And we've got Amanda in the chat room here as well tonight. She'll be joining us a little later on, and we'll see what all of you have to talk about. But this week, I've got some sad news. I'm sorry to report that our good friend Tom Samasico, KB4HQA, and I believe we've got a slide there of him, HQARadio.com. He was a fellow ham radio broadcaster, a good friend of us on Ham Nation here. He became a silent key last Monday, and we'll certainly miss him. Tom was a great friend, and Tom, we just want to say 73 and good DX. And yeah, now so let's sad. Get on. Yeah. Now let's get on into the short shots for this week. Gordo is not here, so I've got some great shots here. You know, I was at CPAC and also ICOM this past week. They've got a great ham fest there at CPAC. And fortunately, our friend Russell Decker, KB6YAF, got some good shots for us while he was there. So let's take a look at those. This is a sign-in and registration at CPAC. In the lobby of the Seaside, Oregon Convention Center, they had a pretty good crowd there. It was standing room only for a while. I understand the numbers were around 2,500, which was really good for that venue. And here's a shot of the flea market. There were a lot of vendors at CPAC, a lot of old radios there. You can see, I believe that's a tube tester there in the foreground. Just all kinds of gear. I would say a lot more variety of used gear there than I normally see. And it was great looking through there. I found just a few small things myself. And now here's a couple of guys here. This is Ron Murdoch, W6KJ, the ARRL section manager for Sacramento Valley, along with Ralph Lucas, W6RWL, the ARRL District Emergency Coordinator for Sacramento. And Ron is also vice president of the IOOK. In case you don't know what that is, that's the International Order of Crazies, which meets on 20 and 40 meters on Sundays and Wednesdays. And here's another view of the flea market vendors. along with a few of the commercial vendors that were there. And right here, we've got a picture of the Radio Waves booth with our good friend Emmett. They manufacture some really good antennas, and Russell just bought one of their 40-meter off-center-fed dipoles, and he says that it works great. And we don't know who this guy is right here or why he's in the pictures, so we'll just move along. And we've got Ray Novak, N9JA from ICOM America in the ICOM booth, meeting and greeting folks. And Ray and I spent the week together last week up at ICOM headquarters. He showed me the whole facility there. I got a lot of great video, so we'll be looking at some of that here in future episodes of Ham Nation. And, of course, the hams were checking out the Kenwood TS-990S HF transceiver. Phil was there, and it was good to see him again. I wanted to get a little interview with him, but I waited too late until he was packing up the boxes, and he wanted to get to the airport. So we'll have to catch up with Phil next time. Aircraft was among the favorites there of hams at CPAC, and they were showing their latest entries for the ham radio transceiver market. And Yezu that was there as well, and Cindy, one of Gordo's friends, wanted to get her photo taken and sent to Ham Nation. And here's one just especially for me that Russell took. This is Foo Industries, and there's a sea of soldering irons there. And I don't believe I have seen so many soldering irons on one table before at a Ham Fest. He had a lot of other great items, too. But, you know, when I saw the soldering irons there, I was naturally attracted in that direction. And here's Adam, K7EDX from Step IR, and he was showing the Crank IR portable HF antenna, a new design that they've got out now. And, of course, we had Chip Margelli, K7JA from Force 12 and Innov antenna, and he's showing a beautiful antenna here mounted on the Big Rack super heavy-duty azimuth rotor. And buyers were picking through the used ham equipment at CPAC, and a lot of them came away with some great treasures. DC Power LCC was selling Anderson Power Pole connectors, and boy, did they have a selection there. I think they had some that probably went up to 100 amps. I had never seen any that big before. And here's Laura, KC7LOK. Laura is the co-owner of Hip Ham Shirts and a supporter of Ham Nation, and she's showing some of their great ham T-shirts. And, you know, you've probably seen me wear that one before that says I equal E over R. It's not just a good idea, it's the law. Well, that came from Hip Ham Shirts, and I think Don and maybe Bob got some shirts from them, too. Here's David, AE9RB, and he's exhibiting the new Peabody V2 software-defined radio. And I stopped and chatted with him a little bit. He's got an interesting design there and a software-defined radio kit that I'm probably going to look at here in the future. A little different than a lot of the others. The sound card is already built into this one, so there's a lot less room for error. And Elka Antennas was at CPAC, and they were displaying their fine line of log periodic VHF and UHF antennas. And then there's a special event station that was at CPAC all weekend. It was W100AW/7. And as a matter of fact, I worked this station. Emmett with Radio Waves had one of his new loops set up right inside the Hamfest there, and I checked in with W100AW/7 without any problems. Of course, we were pretty close to each other. Gordo will be back next week, and he's got a special short shots for us. This will be from Kids Day, which is June the 21st. And the following week, he's going to have some shots from Field Day. I'm going to try to go out and do Field Day myself this year. Looking forward to it. I'm going to try to do something a little different again. I don't like just to go out in the club. I mean, that's a great thing, but we like to try to do something a little unusual here. Don, have you got any Field Day plans?
I am not sure what I'm doing yet. I may go do some stuff with the New Orleans folks. I may do some stuff with the Pearl River County, Mississippi folks. I did that last year. I'll do something even if it's wrong. So, and speaking of some other stuff coming up. I think you're going to talk about, you mentioned Kids Day. I wanted to let you know that Christopher Brault, who was the 11 or 12 year old that we met at Dayton, he passed his tech over the weekend. So got a brand new young ham. So congratulations to Christopher.
Yeah, congratulations, Christopher. Glad to have you on board here. And Don, I guess we'll go back to you now. I know you've got some important stuff to tell us about from DX Engineering.
I do, as a matter of fact, and you know, DX Engineering, of course, is a big part of the Dayton Hamvention, and they were showing all their new stuff as well as everything else that you see at Dayton. But DX Engineering showed several brand new products, and they've been fully tested and proven they are superior to the competition. If you couldn't make it to Dayton, we're going to highlight a few of them over the next few weeks. And if you want more information, of course, all the details are available at dxengineering.com. Most important part of the radio, some say the antenna, some say it's the radio itself. Well, no, actually, it's the coax. Got to have the coax to get the signal out to the antenna, and DX Engineering has cable grippers that make working with coax so much easier on your hands. They're the perfect complement to the DX Engineering coaxial cable prep tools. They help you securely hold the cable while you're doing the proper prep. They'll also help you hold the cable while you're pulling it off a spool or out of a box on your run. They have two sizes available for the 8U coax and also for the 8X Mini 8 coax. It's good stuff. And also, you showed those power poles in your short shots. Well, they are the industry standard, of course, and the industry standard in crimping tools is the DX Engineering Ultra Grip Crimp Connector Hand Tool Kit, made expressly for the power pole crimp connectors and for coax. It has everything you need to make full ferrule connections, including the prep tools and the crimping dies. When you buy the kit, you get the Ultra Crimp Tool, the shears, the braid trimmer, the Allen wrench, and the case. Plus, there are crimp dies for RG8U, 8X, LMR400, LMR240 cables, along with a crimp die for power pole 1530 and 45-amp connectors. They don't have anything for those big old 100-amp connectors. I guess you're on your own on those. I've never seen those that big. That's pretty amazing. Anyway, the Ultra Crimp Tool has interchangeable dies and specialized curing cases. It's all available separately as well if you want to roll your own kit. DX Engineering, of course, is still your go-to source for the best coax cable assemblies on the market. They're expert techs. Treat the cable assembling art like an art form, and it really is. I've got some of that myself, and it's wonderful stuff, wonderful stuff. Each assembly is carefully handmade by hand in the USA to the tightest tolerances in the world. They're also high-pot tested to withstand the extreme voltage of high RF, fully weather-tight to withstand Mother Nature. Come in many lengths and connector options. It's all available for you at DX Engineering, and if you want to grab any of that, get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern. And if it's in stock, DX Engineering will put it on a truck headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, the fastest shipping in the industry. It's DX Engineering. They are helping you shrink the globe. Grab your catalog or shop online 24/7 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. dxengineering.com/hamnation. Thank you so much, DX Engineering, for your support of Ham Nation. It's good stuff. And Valerie, I think we've got some word from you on DX, and of course, you need great cable and antenna assemblies and everything to get that DX signal out. So what's going on in the world of DX, Valerie?
Hey, I'm going to talk to you guys today about QSLing. So, Brian, if you want to go ahead and run that video, that'd be great. Hello, everybody. Today, I'm going to talk to you about QSLing. There's two different ways you can do that. One is electronically, and another is using cards. Cards are a lot of fun. They're great conversation people. If people want to know about you and your hobby, a lot of people see my cards on the wall, and I get asked questions a lot. And it's really a lot of fun. It's back to the old school of the hobby. And the other way is obviously electronically, like EQSL or LOTW, also known as Logbook of the World. That I'm going to show you down the road another time on how to get set up on LOTW, because I know it can be intimidating for some people because there's a lot of steps involved and it's kind of confusing. So I will be going through a step-by-step guide on how to get set up and install LOTW. But for now, we're going to talk about cards. Now, you're out there DXing and contesting. You're going to want to get some confirmations from some of these countries you worked. You're also going to start to get cards in the mail, and they're going to want to get a card back. So the first thing you need to do is get some cards. There's some logging software out there that'll actually print the cards for you. I like to order the cards and get the hard card stock and just fill them out. Here's some of my cards. I couldn't find my original one, but this is my more recent card.
And then on the back is where I would fill in the information. And it's kind of bright. Currently, I'm using this card in honor of the 100th anniversary of the ARRL. I thought I'd order some ARRL cards. And this one I like because I can put the information right there on the front of the card. And then this was a card I recently ordered for when I was on the island of Saba, PJ6. When I worked them outside of the contest, I didn't use the contest call sign, which is PJ6A. So I used my own call sign, PJ6/NV9L. So I got a lot of people sending me QSL cards wanting cards back. So I had to get cards made up for that. When you do send a card, you're going to need to put in there certain required information to make it count. What is going to be required is obviously the call sign of the station you worked. Let me see if I can get a better picture of this. You're going to need to get the call sign of the person you worked, the date you worked them, and the time in UTC time. Also, you're going to need to put the band or frequency you worked them on, the mode you work them on, and a signal report. That's required. You're also going to have usually a box on there to check whether you want them to send you a card back or thanks for your card. Thanks for the contact, and that means they don't have to send you a card. So mine says QSL and has a PSE for please, meaning I want to get a card back, or TNX, thanks, you don't need to send me a card. And I check that box. So now you fill out the card. Now you need to know how they want to get their card. Some of them will go through a QSL manager. That's very handy if they're in another country and say their QSL manager is right here in the U.S. So that'll save you some postage. Also, they might go direct or they might let you use the bureau. So let's start with direct. They want you to send direct only. That's the only way they'll do it. And it goes right to them. You're going to fill out your card, put in the required information, and then you're going to fill out an envelope with your address on it. Now, I like to get the envelopes that come with the privacy thing on them. See that it's got the blue squiggly thing so you can't see through it. Because I'm going to put my card in there, in my envelope addressed to me, and I'll show you why. Because sometimes they're going to require green stamps. Now, obviously, it's not recommended that you send any cash through the mail, but sometimes it's unavoidable. So if that's the only way you can get your confirmation, it's usually $2 they're going to want, because it's cost about probably a $1.15 or $1.20, something like that, to send an envelope here. It also costs them the cost of the card and the time to write it out. When these guys are out there and they're running a pile up and they're running 100, 200 guys an hour, they could go bankrupt if they had to pay for all the people that want a confirmation, especially from some of these rarer countries. Everybody's going to want a confirmation. When you work DX, you need to pay for the postage for them to get it to you. So if they want green stamps, usually it's $2. I get $2. I try and get crisp, fresh new ones because it's kind of cool. And then I fold them up and I stick them, I hide them in here. Now, you're not going to be able to hold that up to the light and see that there's cash in there because, again, I got the privacy envelope and I have my QSL card in there. So you cannot see through this at all. Then I take this envelope and I put it inside the envelope I have addressed to them. Now, when you address the envelope to them, you make sure you do not put their call sign on the envelope. Because that's a sure sign to anybody that there's could be money in here. And so this could go missing and never make it to the person you're mailing it to. So even better, if you can find a commercial envelope of some kind with company name and logo and things like that and address it to that person, then for sure people will not think that there's cash in here. They'll think it's just business. And then you mail that off. The other way is through the Bureau. Now, if you want to send your cards through the Bureau, you have to be a member of the ARRL. Any membership level, it doesn't matter. But you've complete all your cards, but now this time, you won't have to fill out any addresses or anything. You just have to put the required information: call sign, date, time, band or band mode, and signal report. And then when you're done, you need to organize these and put these in country code prefix alphabetical order. So what does that mean? Germany, that country code is DL. So DL, you put them all together. Now say you send something to England or the UK. Those, their country code prefix is a G. So obviously all the German cards would go before the UK cards. Now say the person you're sending a confirmation to in England, their call sign begins with an M. Does it go by the M's or does it go by the G's? It actually goes by the G's. It goes by the actual letter of the DXCC entity. Now, if you need to know what those letters are, you're going to have to go online and find that out. I actually have an amateur radio world map which lists every country code on there, and that's really handy. So do that. Put them in alphabetical order based on their DXCC country code, and then you're going to need to determine how much you need to, what size check or money order you need to include with that to the outgoing QSL bureau. Now, if you're going to be sending them 10 or less cards, it's going to be a flat $2. If you're going to be sending them 11 to 20 cards, it's $3. Now, when you send them a bigger chunk, you can do it by the weight. It's 75 cents an ounce, I believe. Say you wanted to send 255 cards, it's about $18. So you can't beat that deal. They need to be a standard size card, obviously, too. Bundle that all up, include the payment, and send that off to the outgoing QSL bureau. And this is their address here. It's very important, before you just send everything off to the bureau, you need to look everybody up on QRZ and see if they accept their cards via the bureau. So that's it pretty much for the cards, and I'll see you guys next time. And in the meantime, have fun DXing and contesting. Hey, I also wanted to add, too, you know, you can also, when you're going international, do these airmail envelopes. It's nice. It lets your postal carrier know that it's international, and they'll make sure they put it in the right bin. Also, they weigh a lot less than other envelopes, so it might keep you down a tier and save you some postage as well when going direct. And when you're putting your self-addressed envelope inside their the envelope, it's handy to put it in upside down. That way, when they're ripping it open with a letter opener, they won't accidentally rip open the self-addressed envelope as well. And that's it for QSLing. But coming up this week for DXing and contesting, we have the West Virginia QSO party going on Saturday. And Saturday and Sunday is the June VHF contest, which is always a very popular contest. I'm actually going to be on the air for that one. And next Saturday is Kids Day. We need to do what we can to help promote this hobby and keep this hobby going. And the best way to do that is getting our youth interested. I wish somebody had gotten me interested in this hobby when I was younger. I really wish I would have got into it a lot earlier. So if you can, grab your kids, grab your kids' kids, grab your neighbor's kids, or whoever you can, get them on the air. All they have to do is give their name, their age, their location, and their favorite color. So that's kind of fun. And if you can't find anybody to get on the air, get on the air yourself and come back to these kids and give them a QSO and help make it fun for them. Also, if you go to the ARRL website, you can also put in the name of the person, that the youth that was on the air, and print off a great little certificate that they participated, and to help make it a little more enjoyable for the kids. As far as DXing go, there's really not a lot of exotic DX expeditions going on right now. It's summer, which has a lot to do with it. But there's always DX going on, so get out there and work that DX so you can make the honor roll. And, you know, I wanted to mention for you guys out there in the chat room or you viewers at home, maybe you guys can help me plan my next DX adventure. We're going to be going on a DX expedition, and I was given the choice of wherever I want. So maybe you guys in the chat room, or you can send me an email. My email is good on QRZ, and let me know of a good place where I can go and work some, be on the other side of the pileup. I'm looking for something a little rare. But not too rare where I need tents and generators, but something, you know, like a Faroe Island or something where I'll get a nice pile up. So hopefully you guys can help me figure that one out. But in the meantime, I'm going to send it over to George and Randy and see exactly what they were up to at CPAC.
Well, thanks, Val. Great information there on QSLing. You know, I've never worked a pile-up myself, and one day I would like to do a de-expedition or maybe go out and activate an island or something like that. I've been talking with someone about that, so maybe we can make that happen one day. Well, you know, I was just at CPAC in Seaside, Oregon this past weekend for the Great Ham Fest there, and I ran into a pal of mine, someone you see here every now and then that's helping share the load. So let's have a little talk with Randy. So I come out here to CPAC, and I run into my old solder buddy, Randy, K7AGE. Hi, Randy.
Hi, George and the Ham Nation gang, and it's great seeing you on the West Coast again. So this is a lot of fun to meet up with you and, you know, help you out now on the show and stuff, so I'm having fun with that. I have a schedule now, which is new for me, so.
A schedule. Well, that's great, and we really appreciate you coming on and helping out, because after 150 episodes, I have to think a little bit now what I'm going to do next.
Yeah, I've kind of got two or three ahead, you know, in my head, but, you know, after that, I'm not sure. So we just kind of wing it, I guess, and come up with things to do or, ham stuff, I guess. So,
well, that's the way hams operate. You know, sometimes we have a plan. Sometimes we just grab a bag of parts and go after it.
Yeah. So I've been, you know, building things in Altoid cans. My next video is me actually doing the soldering. So, you know, it's a kit with probably 15 parts. Took me, you know, probably 3 hours to shoot it all. And another like 6 or 8 to edit it to get it down into 10 minutes, which is probably long. But, you know, sometimes that's the best we can do.
Well, yeah, we stretch it to 10 minutes sometimes. Sometimes it comes in a little shorter, but, you know, you do this stuff and you end up with way more video than you can ever use, so you just try to grab the highlights.
Yeah, I start off and you lay it all out, and it's like a half hour long, and you just say, well, this is going, and this is going, and this we're going to speed up, and I dropped in a couple of the, you know, music segments you sent to me, so it's a lot of fun, and I enjoy seeing all the comments in the chat room. That first night, I think there was almost 4 pages I'd captured from the chat, so I know everybody's really looking forward to the stuff I'm, you know, adding to the show, so I'm glad to be part of the gang, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, welcome aboard, and you've been doing this about as long as I have. We're going on 8 years with Amateur Logic. How long has K7AGE videos been out there?
It must be about the same. I started posting 1 year after YouTube was formed, so just kind of as an experiment. And, you know, the first videos, I got a few hundred views and stuff. When I did the PSK one, showing people how to do something, it just, that has, I don't know, over 200,000 views, and there's a whole series of videos with that. And I gave 2 talks here at CPAC, so one is PSK, and I used a couple of the segments from my video on that, and the room was standing room only, had people sitting on the floor. And then the following forum I gave was on SSTV, and I actually have the Lou Argent Data camera, and I have it hooked into my ICOM HT, so I'm able to take pictures with this little camera or my iPhone and send it to my iPad or to my laptop. So I had all that stuff running, because I remember Gordel says you have to have lots of stuff when you do these forums and things. So I had a whole table full of radios and cables and interfaces, including the one I built for Ham Nation, which at that point hadn't been seen. So good fun.
Yeah, I caught your PSK-31 presentation yesterday. I didn't catch the SSTV I wanted to, but, you know, there's so many things going on at a ham fest like this. You just can't do them all.
Right, yeah, it's they've really added many more forums to the schedule. They have over 44 forums or talks here, so I gave 2 out of the 44. So that's really helped drawing people in. At the banquet last night, they said they exceeded 2,500, which was a record for them, and they expected another 200 to 300 attendees today. Yeah, they weren't here yesterday. So pretty close to 3,000 people here for Seaside this year.
So what are you looking for? I mean, you can't come to a ham fest without at least coveting something that they've got here.
Oh, boy. I got almost everything I need, so it's hard to judge. I found over the guy over here in the far. He had some little 12-volt voltmeters. They were little three segments, and the whole thing is behind the LED display for $5.
I'm going back there. He had one that it was a voltmeter and an ammeter, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, so I bought two of the little $5 ones, you know, so you could stick them on your battery or whatever and just leave them there, you know. Otherwise, the thing that kind of interests me is maybe the new Flex, the new two-slice Flex. So, but I've got more radios. I know what to do.
Well, but, I mean, that's okay. We understand.
Yes, yeah, we understand.
Others your wives don't. Well, I did better than I did at Dayton so far. You know, Tommy and I went to Dayton again this year. I didn't spend but $5, but I'm already up to 25 here, and it's not over yet, so there is hope for me.
Yes, yes. Sunday here, it really lightens up. It was really packed in here yesterday, so now's a good time to hit all the vendors and, you know, fill your pockets with stuff. So
what have you got coming up in the future for us here on Smoke and Solder? Do you even know what the next project is yet, or you're still kind of working on the list?
Well, the next one, since kind of all this sound card stuff I've been working on, is to work with the iPhones and stuff. So I build the little interface, and at the end of the video, I do show sending a picture from my iPhone to my iPad. But I want to do a video where I explain more about what all that is. And I don't know. We'll have to see.
That's kind of the way I do it, you know. A lot of times I say, well, I'm not sure what I'm doing next week, but it'll be something.
It has to be, because there's a schedule, right?
It's a schedule, and sometimes it's tough to meet, but, you know, it's a lot of fun. And seeing so many people here that have watched the things you do and enjoy them, learning a lot, that makes it worthwhile, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure the same thing happens to you as happens to me. About every 5 minutes, somebody comes up and thanks you for your work. You know, I just was out at the ARL thing, and one of the guys there just, you know, hi, Randy, and all this, and shook my hand and had, you know, take my picture with him and stuff. So it's a lot of fun.
They don't realize we're just regular hams like everybody else, I guess. Some do, but some of them, you know, really enjoy it, and it's evident.
Yeah, it's just something us video guys have turned kind of our profession back into the hobby, and, you know, it's being in front of the microphone and in front of the camera is quite different from being behind it, but after a while you kind of get used to it, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, when I was in television, you know, we had a different opinion of people who got in front of the camera. I'm sure you know what I mean.
Yes, you know, the engineering people are always in the back room, and, you know, they're on the intercom, and it's a good thing that's not being recorded or broadcast, so.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Randy, it's great to run into you again here. I'm not sure when we'll see each other again next. Maybe Dayton next year?
Maybe Dayton. I'm going to Hartford, so that I just got an email from ARL saying it's 39 days away for the centennial, so I'm going there, and then there'll be PacificCon, and then maybe Dayton next year. So,
what are you doing for field day?
I usually don't get too involved. Our local club goes out. Sometimes I show up for lunch. June's a real busy month for me because we're gone for 2.5 weeks on vacation as part of this trip. We'll end up down in Gold Beach, leaving here Monday, tomorrow, for 2 weeks. And it's just a busy month, so we'll have to see. Sometimes I've just set up in my camp trailer in the yard, put up a temporary antenna, fire up the generator, and just run myself. So
that's all you need.
Yeah, just get on the air, make some contacts, be radioactive. So
radioactive, that's right. Well,
yeah, glow in the dark.
Well, it's great to see you again, man. And let's get out here. There's bound to be something with our names on it.
Yeah, I think so. I still got some time, so not sure what. Yeah. Maybe some PL-259s, right?
A guy gave me a couple of brand-new Amphenols in the package yesterday. He said, have you bought any yet? And I said, no. And he said, here, I'll make an honest man out of you.
Those are probably for Tommy, though, aren't they?
He's only going to get one of them.
Oh, well. Sorry, Tommy.
73.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you on the show.
It was great to see Randy again. We've had the opportunity to meet a few different occasions before, and we always have a lot to talk about. You know, he mentioned those little $5 LED voltmeters. Well, I picked up a couple there. I let Tommy have one of them, but I've got the other one here. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it, if I'm going to put it on some of my batteries or what just yet. But, you know, $5, it's mighty convenient. And I also picked up one of these others right here. This one has voltage and current on it. It's a little bit larger. I think these were about $15. And these came from a vendor called Just for Fun. His website's a little long. It's not Just for Fun. It's, well, I'm not going to try to read it because it's too long. But look for Just for Fun at your next Ham Fest. Or maybe you could search for it and find it online. If I can find a better link for it, I'll do it. But great stuff there. He had a lot of little microcontroller accessories for your Arduino and all, sensors and different things. So I'm going to have to look him up because there were other things I wanted but just didn't have time to sit there and look. And one other prize I got, I ran into Sal there, a fan of the show, and he gave me this Panavice tiltable mount here. So I guess I'm going to have to go out and buy another radio now so I can use this. But I really appreciate that, Sal. You know, last week I did the show from the ICOM headquarters up in Kirkland, Washington. And Ray and I were in the ham shack there. But I had shot a little video for Smoke and Solder down in the technicians area there at ICOM. And on one of the repair benches, we talked with Kurt, and he showed us the insides of an IC7000 and talked about servicing it and, you know, some of the different modules and all that were in it. And I asked a question for the contest, how is modulation and demodulation performed in the IC7000? And we had a winner, and that was Walt K9WL, and he said the modulation and demodulation is accomplished in the DSP board. And that's correct, Walt. So congratulations. You're going to win this copy of Morse Code Breaking the Barrier from MFJ. It's got Dave Finley, N1IRZ's method on getting your code speed up. So a great book for getting that code speed going. We'll be sending it out to you this week. For next week, we've got another one of these great diamond antennas. This is the SRH77CA. It's a dual band antenna, has a male SMA connector on the end of it. Great for whipping people to steal their radios or whatever you want to do with it. You can use it for whatever you want. But if you'd like to win that, then answer this question. Where in the world are Bob and Gordo this week? If you think you know the answer, send an email to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could be next week's lucky winner. And right now, I think it's probably time to bring Don Wilbanks in, and let's catch up on the news.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1921, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, June 11th, 2014. Ham Radio's assisted in reactivating an over three-decade-old NASA satellite. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
The UK newspaper The Daily Mail says that several radio amateurs were involved with Project Reboot, which regained control of the 35-year-old abandoned International Sun-Earth Explorer 3 spacecraft on May 29th. Hams named in the article include Dennis Wingo, KD4ETA, H.M. Volhart, DH2VA, and Mario Lawrence, DL5MLO. The International Sun-Earth Explorer was launched in 1978 to study the Earth's magnetosphere. It carries 13 scientific instruments to measure plasmas, energetic particles, waves, and fields. As of this past May, all but one is thought to be functional. After completing its main mission, the satellite was repurposed in 1983 to study two comets. At that time, it was renamed the International Cometary Explorer and has been in a heliocentric orbit since then, traveling just slightly faster than Earth. It's finally catching up to our planet from behind and will be closest to Earth this August. Now KD4ETA has released an update on the attempts by the project volunteers, including the radio amateurs, to gain control of the spacecraft. According to Wingo, the probe has been successfully commanded into engineering telemetry mode. As we go to air, Project Reboot members are working on deadline. If they get the spacecraft to change its orbit quickly, it can use the moon's gravity to get back into a useful halo orbit. If not, the fear is that for all practical purposes, the International Sun-Earth Explorer 3 could be lost.
Still in space, NASA has released some striking close-up video of the sun. Here's Skeeter Nash in 5ASH.
We all know that coronal mass ejections on the sun have a definite impact on radio propagation here on Earth, but few outside the solar science community have ever seen one close up. Now, thanks to video released by NASA, all of us can. The video was taken by NASA's Sun Observing Interface Region Imaging Spectrograph, or IRIS, spacecraft, and radioed back to Earth. It shows a large sheet of solar material erupting from our parent star that quickly consumes a field of view comparable to the size of 5 Earths wide and 7.5 Earths tall. It's an amazing sight that you can see for yourself at tinyurl.com/NASA-IRIS-CME.
The next Kids Day operating event, sponsored by the Boring Oregon Amateur Radio Club, is slated for Saturday, June 21st.
Kids Day is not a contest, but rather a twice-yearly way for licensed radio amateurs to share the fun and excitement of our hobby with those who could be the next generation of ham radio operators. Kids Day runs from 1800 to 2359 hours UTC. To take part, you need only invite non-ham youngsters to your station, of course with parental consent. Once the event begins, simply call CQ Kids Day. More information, including a free printable certificate, can be found on the web at arrl.org/kids-day.
And finally this week, if you use the Chrome web browser, QRZ.com publisher Fred Lloyd, AA7BQ, has something that will make using his website a lot more efficient and enjoyable. Again, here's Skeeter Nash.
Lloyd announced that he has published a free browser extension that will let you highlight and right-click on any call sign on any web page from any website and instantly perform a QRZ lookup. No copying and pasting or typing in the call on a separate page is required. The new app is available now in the Chrome Web Store. Just search for right-click QRZ.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for over 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73, and we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And now I think we have a word from ICOM.
ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to offer ham radio operators some incredible savings. You can get a great deal on a D-Star repeater direct from ICOM and help expand D-Star across North America. For a limited time, ICOM is offering a buy direct D-Star promotion for U.S. and Canadian residents. Purchase a D-Star repeater through the D-Star infrastructure program. The growth of D-Star over the past 4 years has been incredible, with the release of the ID-51A and the IC-7100, more people are getting on the air with this incredible mode. In response to the request to make the infrastructure more affordable, ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to expand the number of repeaters. Hurry! This buy-direct promotion is good for a limited time. Download the mail order form, fill it out, and send it in by mail, fax, or email today. Find out what all the D-Star fun is about. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's buy-direct program.
So check that out at ICOM America. You know, they have a weekly swag contest where you can win great prizes from the ICOMSwagStore.com. And if you'd like to enter, just go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation, throw your name in the hat there, and you could be the lucky winner. They also give away a radio each month, and the prize for June is going to be the ID-880H, which is the D-Star rig that I use. So get your name in the hat. You could possibly win. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation after this episode of Ham Nation. And let's see if you can be announced next week, or actually next month, the end of this month, as a winner. Enter after each episode of Ham Nation. So that means you can register each week. And I can't see my calendars. I'm not sure how many Wednesdays there are this week, but multiple chances to win. So right now, I guess we need to bring Amanda in, and let's see what's going on in the chat room.
Hey, you guys. I finally joined the party here. Thanks, George. And some great videos there, what I could catch of them. Sorry, I had some issues with the mixer again. Restart the computer, and it seems to do okay. So first of all, in the chat room, I have to say congrats to Clayton. He's 11 years old and just got his ticket as a technician, and his new call sign is Kilo Mike 4, Charlie Charlie Romeo. So congrats to you, Clayton, and look forward to hearing you on the air. With that, got a question for George. Any Raspberry Pi projects in the works?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with it right now. I need to look and come up with another project for that. There's so many of them out there. What I'd really like to do is a Morse code reader, but I've downloaded one and tried it, and it didn't work out just right. So I'm going to do some more searching around and see what I can find on that. You know, I stay so busy, I don't have time to write the code myself for a lot of these. So I'm going to ride on somebody else's back once I can find one that seems suitable.
Okay. Well, at least you understand code. Kudos to that. Another question, and this was left over from last week. I was so bummed that I didn't get to ask this. We have to know, were you able to solder anything at the ICOM, place there in Washington?
No, I wasn't. I almost did. Ray and I were replacing the mic cables there in the new ham shack. You know, they're still kind of building that shack up. And the cables they had to the Heil mics were just a little short, and we did repair those. We were going to do them for smoke and solder, but we ended up doing that IC 7000 segment instead. But after that, we went and redid the cables. Ray ran the soldering iron on this one, and I just sat there, you know, with envy. At least I got to smell some fumes.
There you go. That's great. Well, I bet you had a lot of fun out there, and definitely at CPAC as well. Wish we all could have been there. Let's see. Val, you're still here. Did you get to ask your question to the audience out there?
Yeah, I did. I'm looking to go on a de-expedition, and I'm trying to figure out where I want to go. So if anybody has any suggestions for me to go somewhere not too cold, and it would probably be January, February-ish, give me an email, nv9l at arrl.net, or you can put it in the chat room. Amanda's going to email that to me after the show.
Very good. All right. Sorry I missed that segment, too. Again, had to restart the computer there. Don, I don't have any questions for you. I'm sorry, but it's nice to have you on the show tonight. Anything new going on?
No, playing with D-Star. You asked about Raspberry Pi. I'm getting ready to get a Raspberry Pi, I think, and I'm going to hook the hook my DV dongle and my DVAP into the Raspberry Pi, and I'm going to do that. And I'm actually listening to the After Show Net on Reflector 14C right now, and there it is. So they're talking about Ham Nation here on D-Star Reflector 14C. It's pretty cool. I just checked in.
Very good. Let me show you guys what I've been up to. Did we get those pictures in for the tower?
I do have those pictures.
Okay, awesome. Jeff has been putting up a tower in our backyard this week, and I'm so excited. Look at that. It's going to be 50 feet tall. In the next picture, you can see Jeff just, he's mad about this photo, by the way, because it's his, here he comes. He just popped in the room, and now he is mad. Anyhow, we're looking forward to getting the tower finished there. Really? That is so funny. He's being safe, though. Look at that harness. Very nice harness. Right. So what are we going to put? Did not get the censored thing. Okay.
I was a little slow on it.
That's funny. Anyhow, we're just going to put up our G5 RV on there. Maybe our Yagis for 2 meter, 70 centimeter. It's going to be nice, though. It's going to be above those trees that you saw there in the background. So really excited about that. And with that, you guys, let's see. Did I have any other questions? Not really. It's hard to get the questions from the videos, but great audience out there. I think a lot of people are looking forward to field day. So with that, let's send it back to you, George.
Okay, Amanda, we got a few minutes left here. So I want to talk about Field Day just a little bit. That's coming up on the 28th and 29th of this month. That's when us amateur radio operators get our gear together, our antennas, or whatever you need to put a station on the air, go out in the field and set it up and make contacts just to test everything out and see that it works. And also to, you know, make the public a little more aware of amateur radio, because a lot of them still don't know what amateur radio is or ham radio. They think it's sort of like CB, and no, not exactly. So I wanted to ask you guys, what are your plans for Field Day? We'll start with you, Amanda.
Okay. First of all, Field Day, I do it. I'm a big Field Dayer. I stay up almost the whole 24 hours. I get about 3 hours of sleep, and I have a lot of fun doing it. We're going to be here in town doing it at the Holy Cross Abbey. And it's with my club, the Royal Gorge Amateur Radio Club. About maybe 10 to 12 of us get out there and be serious about it. So looking forward to that. I usually do the voice portion. Jeff likes to do a little bit of digital PSK. Got some CWers there getting the real points for us. And I think they're going to try to work satellite this year, which is going to be fun. We just run, 100 watts off of emergency power. So with that... Oh, and we run as 3A. Thank you, Jeff, for reminding me that. So I'll send it to Val. What are you going to do for Field Day?
I have been licensed now. I think this will be my seventh summer. I've been licensed, and I've only missed Field Day once. And I usually run it with November 9. We use the call November 9 Alpha Whiskey, and we have it at the park at the American Legion post in Cudahy. And, yeah, I also run the phone portion, and we run 2 Alpha as well. And it's always a lot of fun. I love to camp, and this is a great way to mix camping and ham radio. So I'm in heaven.
Absolutely. So, Don, what are you going to be doing?
Or Field Day, I'm not sure. I may do the New Orleans bunch. I may do the Pearl River County, Mississippi bunch, my local crew. I may just get on and do a 1 Delta, I think, by myself or whatever. Well, I've got a generator. I could do a 1 Alpha. I could do, I don't know. I'll do something even if it's wrong. And it probably will be.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Anyhow, anybody that hasn't been to a Field Day, make sure you find out where your local one is and get to it. There's nothing funner than that, especially if you don't have your extra license and you can work those extra portions, have fun at it. What do you think, George?
I think that's a great idea, Amanda. You know, up there in the north where you guys are, Field Day's not too bad, I guess. I don't really know. I haven't spent a summer in the north, but down here in the south, it can be painfully hot. I did it a couple of years ago. Tommy and I and a few friends went way out in the woods, way off the grid on a dirt road, back in a pasture, found some woods and set up and did Field Day from there with the generators. We had a blast, but man, it was hot. We brought some fans, but even that wasn't quite enough. But we're going to try it again this year. Not sure exactly where we're going yet. We might go to a state park, but... you know, you're kind of limited there because my generator is super noisy, and I know I won't be able to run that. And we just haven't decided exactly where we're going. We're trying to work out the details in the next few days, though, so we can pull it all together. Well, before we go, though, let me ask you guys, do any of you have any good or funny Field Day stories you'd like to share?
I'm trying to figure out if the statute of limitations has passed. We were gonna send a picture in 1 year to the ARRL for QST magazine. We were gonna spell out the call sign of the club, which was W5ABD, the American Beer Drinkers, Whiskey 5 American Beer Drinkers. We were gonna spell it out in bacon in the frying pan for Sunday breakfast, but I think somebody ate the B. But down here in the South, you spend almost as much on gasoline for the generator as you do for mosquito repellent. I mean, it's horrible down here. My God, it's horrible. I used to have a motorhome, and I used to bring my motorhome to Field Day, and we would actually operate from inside the motorhome with on the generator just to get away from the mosquitoes and the heat. It's brutal down here in South Mississippi and Louisiana.
Oh, it is.
I heard some sirens. You better watch out.
Uh-oh, yeah. We used to set up in a park in West Wego, Louisiana, and the police would come by. They would orbit the park just to, I don't know if they were trying to keep us safe or trying to keep the trying to keep the public safe, but either way it worked.
Yeah, it is brutally hot down here, and you know, I called around today trying to see if we could rent a camper or a motorhome or something. There's no place around here that does it, so probably wherever we go, it's just going to be hot. We do have an observatory in mind, but I don't know if we're going to be able to get that yet. If we can, though, that'll be a lot of fun. I think they have some air conditioning there and a cabin that they had. I did notice that Andy, into FYE in the chat room, said that we need more digital during field day. And, yeah, Andy, I'll agree with that. As a matter of fact, Tommy and I were talking about it today, and I think we're going to try to run some PSK31 for field day on one of the stations and do a few contacts that way, you know, because you can do it with lower power. And I'm thinking it might be a little easier to make contacts on there. I haven't done it on field day yet, so we're just going to have to give that a try and see. Well, thanks for being with us, everyone, tonight. We've had a great time. Bob and Gordo should be back with us next week, and we'll see what they've been up to. Don, any final words before we leave?
No, just if you can, check into the After Show Nets, check into the D-Star Net, check into the 20-meter net, the 40-meter net, check into the Echo Link Net. They're all there. And
a lot of rain taking place.
There you go. Friends of Ham Nation, support them. They do great stuff for us. 7-3, guys.
Yeah, they really do. Amanda, any final words from Colorado?
Just that field day is not that bad here in Colorado. You guys can come up here. It'll be fun. And Don will bring the beer. And by the way, bad antenna story. Don't ever try to raise an antenna tower with a Jeep Cherokee. Enough said. Go ahead.
I have a picture. I wish I still had it. In the middle of a thunderstorm, in a park around trees, an aluminum ladder sitting in about 6 inches of water, and an extra class ham at the top of the aluminum ladder stretching out a wire antenna with lightning hitting all around.
I wish
I still had that picture. That's field day. That's field day.
Yeah. What about up in Wisconsin, Val?
We actually have beautiful weather for field day, so you can actually tent camp, and it's very comfortable. But we do have extra spots available, George, or Don, if you want to head north, then I'm sure we can accommodate you.
Hey, they have beer in Wisconsin, too. Yeah, yeah. They have beer in both Colorado and Wisconsin, so that's
we do have good beer in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But the mosquito is our state bird, but we do bring a fogger before we set up because it gets pretty bad.
You know, that's one thing I didn't miss in Seattle or in Oregon. Were the mosquitoes. They didn't have any. So, boy, that makes me really think hard about that might not be such a bad place to be, especially in the summer.
And this time of year is the Formosan termites down here, too. Those things are horrible. Oh, my God, the termites are bad down here.
Yeah, I haven't seen those around here.
Oh, man. Yeah, there they are. There's field day.
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Perfect. You get that extra kilowatt, you know, when you use natural energy like that.
Something else we did. Somebody had a jar of pickles, and we tied a string around the jar of pickles, and we're going to throw it over a tree as a tagline for an antenna. And my friend Steve, N5SC, I mean, he hauled back and he hummed that thing, and it was a beautiful arc, perfect arc, right over the tree and right to the middle of the jogging path. Couldn't have been any better. That's field day in New Orleans.
Well, that almost sounds like a Gordo trick there.
Pretty much.
Well, thanks for being with us tonight, everyone. We had a great show here, and we're looking forward to seeing y'all again next week. So from Jackson, Mississippi, 7-3 and good DX.
And from Picayune, Mississippi, 7-3 and good DX.
7-3, good DX from Colorado.
And from the middle of nowhere in Wisconsin, 7-3 and 88. Good DX and contesting. Okay.